Good afternoon. I'm having the honor to follow many fellows and teachers today who have had truth-telling opportunities to describe the love they have not only for the science, but the love they discovered by sharing it with the other community members at their schools, with their teachers, and perhaps even with their mentor. And today I have the opportunity to describe the last 8 years of the UIUC, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign's GK-12 project. I was a faculty member there from 1975 to 2000 in the Department of Educational Psychology, Measurement and Statistics. So in 2000 is when we began, and that's when I took on a new appointment at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, and where I head up an assessment and leadership for Learning Center. So my heart, being an Illinois graduate as well, remained at the GK-12 project, and so I get this opportunity today to talk about the GK-12 project. The focus at the Champaign-Urbana campus regarding this initiative was about modeling and visualization and informatics. Some of you are familiar with the powerful use of the web that you now know it as today. The National Center for Supercomputing Applications was a place where many of these activities originated with the, before we had IE, we had something called Mosaic, and then we had IE, and now we've got many other things related to it, the Internet Explorer. And our team was a group of people who were focused at the National Center for Supercomputing Applications, and the focus was on growing uses of the modeling tools that we now were growing to understand as a great learning style, as a great teaching and outreach method. And so as a result, our center's focus was on what are these tools and how are the ways in which we can magnify their potential uses and interfaces with high school teachers and new curriculum of the future. So our focus was on this world called seeing it is believing it and creating it with the tools that the computing software could generate for us to have a chance to see. It's very powerful. And let me give you some of the examples of the tool set that we've been working with. The Genome Project took place, and as a result, we have an incredible tool called Bioinformatics. And many of you may be using the Biology Student Workbench, which was created directly to be used with undergraduate teaching and learning programs, as well as being used by pharmaceutical companies and research labs all across the world. So Bioinformatics, through the Biology Student Workbench, our students were writing the tutorials, were developing the lesson plans, developing the ways in which those tools could be used as teaching learning lessons for not only high school locations and classrooms, but we're teaching faculty across the nation, the world, how to use these tools and how to use the software. Another one was Stella. Some of you may be familiar with that as a modeling tool. Another one was Mathematica. Steve Wolfram developed a very nice, friendly language that created visualizations for some math ways of doing mathematics, thinking about mathematics, all the what-if questions, the scenarios. And some of us maybe did differential equations back in the days when it was brute force, but now we have great tools and techniques to allow our learners to sort of see it through visualizations in incremental ways. And as a result, we created some participatory design visualizations where the students that were designing the activities and lessons were also getting the views from our learners. What do they need to know? How do they need to know it? What are the best ways we can create the visualizations? And all along in the last decade, what you see being created are these digital archives. Some of them you see at the digital images that are kept by Google, others of them at the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. If you go to our website, you'll see a lot of the collections of things that have been created just for the development of teaching and learning lessons. We also created something in the late 90s, early 2000, what was called the Inquiry Page, based on John Dewey's work. It's called the Inquiry Page. You can do a Google search on that. And in the Inquiry Page, it really focuses on designing lessons that were pretty much what you've heard today. Inquiry rich, what's the question that you're wanting students to have some time to ponder? Or what are the student questions? And so the Inquiry Page became a place as a repository of what our fellows were doing, as well as what our other teachers and fellows were doing around the globe. Like when I'm in India or when I'm in Singapore working with teacher development groups, I have all those groups of teachers, when they present their lessons, they share it on the Inquiry Page. And I have them have it coded with separate keywords so that the teachers in Singapore can just do an SG search on math lessons, and they'll can see the ways in which their math integrative technology lessons can serve their populations of teachers and learners. So the Inquiry Page is a great resource for you to see, and you will see a lot of our links that our students have done, and we'll share all their lessons there. So as a result, you see that our students are focusing on technology visualization software tools. And for those of you in chemistry, the ChemViz project was, again, another computational rich software tool that our fellows were not only learning about, but were learning and sharing it with teachers and creating lessons to be used in classroom settings. We always positioned our fellows as that scientist, as several of the fellows have shared today. They were the scientists in the educational classroom setting. And several of my fellows, our fellows, when they were in school-based settings, in one of their first week assessment prompts we had them share with their students was, tell me what a scientist looks like, feels like, does, and acts like. You know, so we have views of science from young learners, from middle school, high school learners, opening day, end of the year with a fellow, and incredible changes in terms of what they think scientists are like, and because we want our scientists in the classrooms to share who they are as people, as learners, as scientists with their research, but as scientists that become communicators. And so we always deal with what are we learning from our learners in the classroom with the interactions with our fellows. We have other initiatives that have expanded at Champaign inside the NCSA. Another one is the inquiry, the Community Informatics Initiative. It's out of our Library Information Science, which is all about building partnerships in communities. Like in the city of Chicago, a district that has been transformed, Division Street area, and Franklin Park, some of my doc students have been working there, creating partnerships with the local people, the universities, and growing opportunities, school-based relationships, and just situating it all with the use of Inquiry Page as a place to share it, host it, and have forums. So last summer, I was there for a two-day symposium, and over 40,000 people participated in a parade that they had down Michigan Avenue, and the whole city was transformed by these incredible conversations that have been taking place between schools, children, and young legislative leaders. We also like to think of our fellows as being in development. They don't have it all right because they haven't learned much about teaching and learning. And so much of our time spent when we select the fellows is to bring them in touch with a great teacher that is in their discipline of interest. They have time to work with them. And our summers, we do have workshops where we teachers and fellows sit beside each other, plan together, and we talk about lesson plan development, or we might talk about assessment literacies, or we might talk about instructional strategies. We have a whole host of themes as well as all these software tools that we were teaching and developing the minds of our fellows. Putting it in context, I'm not going to be able to talk about a site. I'm going to talk about 8 years of sites and sort of paint the picture. And it's rich, like you've heard from the individual fellows today. We've been at this for these past 9 years, and we'll be finishing it up this spring in 09. We've had multiple sites throughout the state, from the suburbs of Chicago to the rural settings in central Illinois to the urban schools, and even some community college we've had some of our fellows work at, and private schools too, in some special academies. We typically select 5 to 7 fellows. Most of our fellows have been doctoral students. I don't know that I've had any master fellows. Have we had, Matthew? I think. Masters, yeah. Most of them, in my experience, have always been doctoral students when we've interviewed them in our selection. We have a pool bigger than the group that we accept because of the natural attractiveness of these stipends. These are highly selective positions. Many of us have had relationships with school-based settings that we try to place them in such a way that they work with their research schedule as well as their class schedules and with their professional long-term goals. These teacher-fellow partnerships are huge. They're ones that are essential to the quality of the program. We don't just place a fellow in a convenient school setting. We have long-term relationships with the schools in terms of professional development that either I or at least other collaborators in our project have had. And they're really based on trusted relationships of 5, 10, 15 years prior of working relationships. And others that grow out of fellows and teacher friends, we invite them always in the spring semester, bring your respected friends with you in the science teacher community, and they might be interested in a fellow for next year, so they get a chance to see our new fellows presenting their ideas, and then we get a chance to match them up with the right respective teacher setting. We do have weekly meetings on campus that our fellows are supported with, where they're learning about, and this semester we're dealing with assessment literacies, questioning strategies, pre-assessment knowledge, one-minute prompts, online web-based interactive designs. During the academic year, we always have workshops during the summer. In fall semester, we have workshops around the teacher needs, what it is that they want to have more time spent doing, and they have some collaboration time as well as presentation time. Basically, our fellows match their expertise with the teacher they're assigned with, and they decide what are the key topics, and they plan out the full year, and they decide on the five or seven big topics they're going to address. You can see the kind of fellows we've had from the areas of chemistry, physics, biology, social studies, engineering, mathematics, computer science, environmental studies, vocational, and they've worked in various kinds of classroom types, AP classrooms, honors classrooms, regular support classrooms, some special needs classrooms like you heard here today. From the evaluation side, how do you get to tell these great stories? You know, my job is to paint the picture or let the information be known, not only to NSF, but to the bigger science education community. We've used a mixed method. What I mean by that, we've not only done quantitative surveys, we've done a lot of qualitative techniques. That means we're gathering the data with rather open-ended prompts that are guided by the big questions we need answers to. I would also describe it as situated in the sense of each context. I have evaluators working with me in the fellow and teacher teams, and every one of our teachers and fellows creates what I would call a setting. And we try to paint that story based on what's happening, what opportunities there were, what challenges did they face, and how can we best describe and paint that picture. And it has resulted in many, not only presentations made by fellows and teachers, but as you saw in Mrs. Harry's presentation, publications in Biology Teacher or other such publications that Matt and others have done in our program. And from the internal-external evaluation perspective, I was external right from the get-go, and I've chosen a colleague, Dr. Bruce. He's at the University of Illinois, and both he and I support our fellows and our evaluation efforts collectively. We use formative and summative approaches, that is to say informing the teachers and the fellows that we work with. We do a lot of web-based support, a lot of online support, as well as we do visitations. I do visitations like twice a year to each of the sites in the Chicago area, and I have other evaluators in the Central Illinois area that do their sites. So the instrumentation is, as you see there, we have fellows, they do surveys opening before as accepted into the program. They do mid-year forms and end-year forms. Every week, the fellows fill out an informal learning log. They describe big targets, big developments, so that they can reflect on how the lesson went or how the visit went or how the pre-planning has gone, what are the issues they're faced, so that we can give them help and support along the way. They also have their meetings with a faculty member on campus as well. The site visits are done by myself with the fellows and the teachers. Sometimes I meet directly with the teachers to understand their goals and things that we can contextualize that setting and describe it best. And then we try to meet this next second week in December. I'll be meeting with fellow teacher teams at school sites along with another evaluator. The mentors, I might say, they're the faculty advisors to these doctoral students. They tend to be a bit hidden. I mean, they're having to let go of this great research scholar to learn about this discipline and having it be played in the classroom setting. And sometimes they're not always ready to let go. And so I would just say that mentors have learned a lot about how their fellows have grown. And in time, they're appreciating the diversity of experiences, but more importantly, the professional growth that they've seen in their fellows, not only in completing their thesis on time, in a timely manner, but where they've gone 2, 3, 5 years from now. And you'll see in one of my next directions, we're talking about what lessons have we learned from our fellows 3 to 5 years out. Evaluation team is myself and Chip, and over the years, the various doctoral students have joined me for 1 or 2 or multi-years in the program. How do you capture this complexity? Each classroom is a culture. Each school has its own culture. You know, many of you might be familiar with the literature on professional learning communities at work. And I would say the GK-12 is a professional learning community at work with its extent to which its teacher fellow teams become richly collaborative, richly focused on targets, and develop incredible new understandings. We use a triangulation approach where we're not only gathering it from the fellow's perspective, but from the evaluation perspective and from the teacher's perspective. So we try to enhance the story that we're telling and learning and telling others about. Rather holistic, rather in-depth, rather thick data, as one might describe, this richness of data that comes from qualitative open-ended questions as well as our on-site interviews. And we're able to track these across time with the use of institutional IRBs, for those of you in the room, that's the Institutional Review Board protocols that we have to pass by for all of our surveys, all of our prompts. Everything that you've seen that I'm sharing with you today has been approved and permission granted for us to put online, as well as to do the interviews that we have with our fellows and teacher locations. The next step that you're going to see us working in the next 6 months to 2 years is going to be on the interviewing our fellows and the school leaders that have been in our program. And some of the examples is, here's Kathy Gabrick on the right in the featured picture, and she, not only in her GK-12 experiences with our fellows, she's had multiple fellows, but now she's been not only a teacher of the year for ISTA, Illinois Science Teacher Association, she's also working with many faculty members on the East Coast and Rutgers NSF project as a teacher leader of leaders, a high school teacher teaching university professors about how to make bioinformatics curriculum be a honors program or a program for a general biology class to have. She's been rather noted. We also create a culture of collaborative assessment. So what fellows are doing, in not only getting the lesson ready, delivered, but what impact is it having on young men and women in our classrooms becoming scientists, or thinking about becoming that scientist, or thinking about describing that scientist. So we've worked directly as an evaluation team with our fellows, creating those tool sets for them. We've also worked directly with the teachers and continuing to get the questions they want answers to. And so we work collaboratively with them, and we build those tools for them. And some of them do it in-house, some of them do it online. And what the teachers have always been amazed with is the kinds of cleverness, the way you ask the questions, the view of the learner that comes forth from the children's responses. And I would just say to you that many times our teachers have, their eyeballs are rolling with, I never thought they could say it that powerfully. And you never want to say never is the condition, but give them the opportunity to explain what they're learning about doing science and the concepts being visualized and lived out, and gives them a dream, gives them a new goal, gives them an opportunity to think beyond where they are. And you see we have teacher fellow teams here engaged in neuroscience. One of my latest fellows is doing a big unit on AP psychology, as well as neuroscience tied directly to the honors biology program and general biology program. And we've done brain dissections and human brains in classrooms. And he not only uses these tools to teach about brain features and functions, but he also uses it to teach all the other faculty. When I was there for 3 days, we had 30 to 40 other faculty members coming in to just hold the human brain and just to see what the students were doing in the laboratory. And we took all the dissections and then took them to the psychology laboratory and had the psych students talk about what the functions were of the brain, because they were having to learn it for their AP exam. Some concluding themes, much of what you've heard from the fellows, this comes from our study of 8 years of working with fellows and teachers. Collaborative teaming, that's our teacher fellow teams. It's really about what matters most, and you heard it from a fellow and a teacher today. It's really about meaningful inquiry. It's about doing inquiry on topics, questions that motivates children, motivates your research, and motivates a community of teachers around you that you're serving. Integrated technologies, from the visualization tools to the tools that matter most in the minds of young children. And sustainability and scalability, we've been working directly with many of these high schools and other sites where not only have we energized faculty and the teachers that our fellows have been working with, but there's been tools shared, lessons learned, and lessons shared on the web that many other teachers, not only in these schools that are partnering with us, but all around the world are using. So go to the website and you'll have access to several lessons that have been created by our fellow teams. Each of these pictures could be a story and a chapter or two in a book, and the fellows certainly have images and reflections that we've written about these in our reports. These are examples of modeling STELA use in chemistry classrooms. Another one is through building their own meaning through visualization tools for the chemistry classroom through ChemViz, that we've created a lot of lessons that you can go through the chemistry program, whether it's for a regular program or an honors program, an AP program. And you sort of might say, well, how did you get all this information put together? Well, it's really about quality. What kind of quality is occurring in your GK-12 program? And so what we try to do is provide the great depth of knowledge that's gained by fellows, but also by our teacher fellow teams. Each unique meaning is situated where their fellows are practicing their art, practicing the science, and learning about teaching and learning. It's really about producing what's being learned in these settings, and that's what we try to do in our reports and in our study. And so in our approach basically has been all about triangulating our observations. What are we seeing? What collaborative culture is emerging? And you'll go to the website and you'll see all kinds of presentations that have been made at national, international meetings, as well as chapters and other things that have been written. And all these documents that have been provided are descriptions of the kind of impact that not only has our program had on the discipline, but on our fellows as their individual lives have been transformed by this great place called K-12 learning and teaching. So I think many fellows have given a lot of themselves to learn about teaching and learning, but in the end, the children who they've impacted are going to be the beneficiaries of this incredible program called GK12. So thank you very much, and I'll open up for questions.